John chapter 9. That's also good to see my fellow brother and his wife, Jeffersons. And also, if I don't acknowledge this, I don't want to get in trouble. Thank you also for my, I would say this is okay, my sugar dumpling, my wife, Candace, and then my three daughters to keep me in line, Neria, Treasure, and Carmen. John chapter 9. Good morning, church. Have you ever found yourself asking why? Lord, why this sickness? Why this disappointment? Why this loss? Why this struggle? Those questions are as old as humanity itself. I gotta make sure I'm. Okay, I guess I am on. All right, here we go. Life hurts. We naturally search for explanations because we want to know why things happen the way they do. Some of you walked into this room this morning carrying burdens that no one else knows about but Jesus. You have smiled through your pain. You have worshiped while your heart is breaking. You have prayed prayers and seem to have gone unanswered. Before we go any further, let me encourage you with this truth. King Jesus sees you. He sees every tear. He knows every burden. He hears every prayer. He has not forgotten you. The truth is this. It's not a conforming thought. It comes alive in opening verses of John chapter 9 of this 6. Jesus walking through Jerusalem. As he passes through, the man has been blind from birth. He had never seen the sunrise, never looked at his parents' face, have never experienced the beauty of God's creation. Darkness was all he had known. But most people saw a beggar. The disciples saw a theological question, but Jesus saw a person. Church, that's still who Jesus is today. He sees, overlooked, and forgotten the broken and the weary. He does not see people as problems to solve, but souls to love. Today, I want to give you a lesson of a thought today is from blindness to glory. From blindness to glory. Let us read God's word. As he passed through by and saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? That he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that the man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, night is coming, that no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit up on the ground and made mud with his saliva. And then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. From blindness to glory. Church, I want y'all to know this. Before we walk through these passages, don't miss the bigger picture of this lesson. This story isn't just about a blind man. It's about every one of us. Before we met King Jesus, we were all living in spiritual darkness. We couldn't see our greatest need, and we couldn't even save ourselves. John wants us to understand that the miracle points beyond the physical eyesight to the one who declared it. I am the light of the world. So as we study this miracle, Don't just ask what happened to this man, ask what is God saying to me. Because this story is ultimately an invitation to every one of us who see Jesus more clearly this morning. As we step into this passage, as we begin, I want everyone to notice a man in the need of a Savior who sees him. John tells us as he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. John could have simply written that Jesus passed by, but instead he tells us that Jesus saw him. And that one word changes everything. Many people looked at this man over the years, but only a very few had truly seen him. Some ignored him because of its inconvenience. Others pitied him because they assumed that his life would never change. Still others judged him because they believe in his blindness must have been the result of someone's sin. The disciples immediately asked, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents?" They saw a problem to solve. Jesus saw the person to love. Before we were too hard on the disciples, we need to admit that we were often in the same thing. Do y'all agree? We reduce peoples to labels, to addicted, the divorce of women, the troubled teenagers, the prisoner, or the homeless man. But Jesus never reduced people to labels. He saw men and women created in the image of God, worthy of compassion. Do we look at each other that we all created in the image of God? Church, we need to have our eyes fixed on Jesus. We need to see the lonely, the hurting, and the discouraged, and overlook people and not be forgotten that every person is meet someone whom Christ died for. The blind man thought he needed to new eyes. What he really needed was Jesus Christ. And church, it's our story too. And Jesus' answer is, it was not the man's sin or his parents. It was the works of God who had been displayed in him. Notice, let's look at this text in chapter 9, starting in verse number 1. Notice that Jesus is doing. He is not saying that the suffering is good, nor is he denying that the sin affected our world. He is correcting the disciples' assumptions, because sometimes assumptions get us wrong, right? We can't always assume the worst in people. But I want y'all to understand this. Watch what God is about to do. Sometimes we become more so focused on explaining our pain and that what we miss God's purpose in it. Let me repeat that again. Sometimes we become more focused on explaining our pain than what we miss God's purpose in it. Joseph understood this is when we declared, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it to be good." The cross itself looked like history's greatest tragedy, but Sunday morning reveals the history's greatest victory. Pain is often becomes a stage upon which the glory of God is displayed. So instead of asking only, "Why me?" perhaps we should be asking, "Lord, how can you glorify me in my pain?" Let me repeat that again. Don't complain about "why me?" Ask God, "How can I glorify you in my pain?" Sometimes God doesn't waste our pain. He transforms it into our testimony. Before we move on, don't miss something that's so beautiful in this story. A blind man that never saw Jesus. We never saw Jesus, right? But we believe that he's existed, right? But Jesus has already seen him. Long before we recognize God's hand He is already moving toward us in grace. When we think nothing is happening, he is working. Do y'all agree? We got to understand that when we think nothing is happening, heaven is already arranging a divine appointment. A man who spent his life in darkness, yet in heaven has not forgotten him. God's preparing him an encounter with the King Jesus would change his life forever. Perhaps, where there are some of you are today, you prayed, you cried, you trust, and you waited. But your answers hasn't even came at this moment. What are you expecting? When is God going to answer my prayer? Let me encourage you by this. As we look in this text, he has stopped working. He was working like Joseph while he was in prison. We talked about that this morning in our lesson on the providence of God in our Bible study. He was with Ruth when she was gathering grain. Even while Esther was in a foreign place, even while Lazarus laid in the tomb, while Jesus hung on the cross, God was still with him. If he was working within, he is working now. Let the church say amen. Don't let your painful of this chapter convince you that the story is over. The story is still written. If God is still giving you breath, he is still writing your story. And your pain is not your final chapter. Your disappointment is not your final chapter. But King Jesus is always has the final word. Jesus then says, let's look at verse number. Oh, yeah, I forgot about we had this light up here. See? Oh, it doesn't work. Oh, okay, there it is. All right.
I got to use it too.
That's okay. Yeah, I got to get my eyes checked next week. So it's all good. Verse number 4, we must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day, night is coming, no one can work. Jesus says we must work the works of him who has sent me while it is day. Notice that he says we must work. He invites his disciples into a mission. An invitation stands today. There are hurting people who need compassion, lonely people who need encouragement, and lost people who need the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Life is very short. Opportunities are limited. Night is coming. Today, love today, forgive today, serve today, share Jesus today. Then Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Then the blind man needed the light for his eyes. We need the light for our souls. Do y'all agree? So think about, pause and let's imagine on this next scene of this chapter. The blind man heard the voice of Jesus, but still cannot see him. He feels Jesus kneel beside him. He hears the mud being made. Just close your eyes and visualize this. He feels it in a place upon his eyes. And Jesus gives him a command that makes a little sense. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Every step toward the pool is what the step of faith. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. We have to believe that God is working in our lives. That is faith, trusting God's word before understanding God's plan. John simply says, so went and washed and came back seeing. Imagine that moment, how the blind man was feeling. He washed away the mud and suddenly there was light, color, movement, face, creation. For the first time in his life. Could you see it? But perhaps something is greater is happening. The first face, he was healed. Think about it. He was healed from his blindness. He looked up on his face of grace. The first light of experience come from the one who declared it. I am the light of the world. The first thing I opened The first thing, he opened his eyes beyond the what was glory of King Jesus. All of us, when on that day of judgment, as Jesus is right with us, we got to make account of the things we have done in this body. I want to be able to see his face in peace, don't you? You know, I'm not into the how the world might describe Jesus within a picture or a silhouette, because the Bible doesn't really give a definite answer on what ethnicity. Does not give a physical how Jesus really looked. Y'all agree? He was Jew, right? But we need to understand, it doesn't matter what color he is. I just want to touch the hem of his garment. I want to be able to sing this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. And ask Peter, why did you do what you do? Ask Paul, why did you wreak havoc on the church? I think about that now, but I'm going to be so happy just to see Jesus and also see my loved ones that's gone above. The blind man was heard in the voice of Jesus. He still cannot see him. He fell on his knees and beside him, he hears the mud being made. And we talked about that. Think about the one who was sent by the Father, who sent the blind man to a pool to be sent. Do you follow the commands of God? If God said, go out to this whole world, preach the gospel, and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, are you doing that? He commands us to do that in Matthew chapter 28. He reminds us that our hope has never been in a place or a method, but in the person of Jesus Christ. Church, this miracle points beyond physical blindness. It's blindness to spiritual blindness. Like the blind man were born unable to see the greater need, we were not merely struggling, we were spiritually dead, separated from God because of sin. No amount of morality, religion, or good works could rescue us. We need someone to do for us that we could not do for ourselves. That is someone is King Jesus. He left the glory of heaven, entering into a broken world to live a perfect life we could never live, and love unlovable and touch the untouchable, willing and went to the cross to die for our sins. He defeated death. Do y'all agree? He was buried. He rose on the third day. Again, he had the victory over sin, death, and the grave because he lives. His forgiveness is available because he lives. His hope is available because he lives. The new life is available. He did not come merely to improve our lives. He came to save our souls, destroy the works of the devil, conquer sin, defeat death, and bring us out of darkness to his marvelous light. The blind man heard the voice of Jesus. He trusted his word. He obeyed his command. He came back seeing. Jesus calls every one of us to respond to that same obedient faith. Believe that he is the Son of God. Turn away from our sins. Confess him before others. He being buried with him in the water of grave of baptism and never been about earning. Salvation has never been about earning God's favor. It's always been about trusting the Savior and responding to him in obedience by faith. Perhaps someone has walked into this assembly today expecting another ordinary Sunday. We have to stop going through the motions of life. Maybe you came here carrying guilt, fear, and regret, disappointment, hopelessness. But today does not have to be the end the way it began. Today could become a day of your life changing forever. You need forgiveness. I need forgiveness. Jesus is calling you. If you need hope, Jesus is calling you. If you need prayer, the church is here for you. If you're ready to surrender your life to Christ, don't put off another day, because our life is like a vapor. A period for a short time, it's going to vanish away. That's in James chapter 4. Before we close, I want y'all to remember the heartbeat of John chapter 9. John declared that I am the light of the world. He's talking about Jesus. The blind man needed the light for his eyes. We need the light for our souls. The greater miracle in John chapter 9 was not simply that the blind eyes were open. The greatest miracle was that the sinner came to know the Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. King Jesus is still opening eyes for the blind. He is still forgiving sins. He is still restoring the broken lives. He is still making all things new. So the question is not whether Jesus Christ can save. The question is whether you will come to him today. Bring your darkness to King Jesus. Because when he steps into your darkness, he doesn't simply change what you see. He changes who you are. Let me repeat that again. Bring your darkness to King Jesus, because when he steps into your darkness, he doesn't simply change what you see. He changes who you are. Do y'all agree? One day, the faith will come sight. One day, there will be no more darkness. There will be no more tears. No more suffering. No more death. This lesson has been on my heart since Monday. Brother Jefferson was there, and my brother's keepers. What are you doing with the time that God has given you? We only get 24 hours in a day. I know we're there in the debate. It's going to come across his desk, that guy who owned 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I'm not in the business of preaching politics from the pulpit, because I don't agree with that. That daylight savings time was more for the farmers, right? Back in the day, right? As I get up in the morning, by 5:45, I look at it, and the sun is always about to start rising. Is that correct? That sun is going to set around by 8:45, 9 o'clock. What are you doing with the time you have? What are you doing with the time as God has given you? Nothing I do in this body can amount to the things God has already done for us. If you go read Psalms chapter 40, David said he couldn't even number the blessings that God has given us. My girls know I talk about a lot of things, but they know most of I talk about is God, right, Neria? And I remember my oldest one. There's something about that first child that brings you joy. I just remember when she was in kindergarten, she had a little towel. Didn't ask her to do this, but she did. Said, my dad preaches about God. Whatever we do at home should be our ministry. Because the ones who live in your home knows who you really are. And I thank the women in my house that keep me in line. Because somebody has to keep you accountable. Because in the book of Joshua, it said, for as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As a spiritual leader of my home, I got to make sure my house is in order before I take care of God's house. Is that correct? But the book of Revelation declares there will be no need for the sun or the moon, because the glory of God will give it light. The Lamb is light, lamp. The one who opened the one blind man's eye beside the road to Siloam will one day flood all creation with his glory. Until that glorious day, may we walk in his light, reflect his light, and proclaim his light. As we get ready to sing the song of invitation, give all the honor and praises to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of our world. Are you willing to give your life to Jesus today? Are you willing to surrender your life to him today? Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because if you confess him today, he will confess you on that day of judgment. And go down to the water of a grave of baptism and come up as a new creature. Be part of his global family. And if you're in the need of restoration, reconciliation, that we all sin and fallen short of God's glory, Romans 3, verse 23. That there's nothing in this world that you can't be forgiven for besides one thing: if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you can't be forgiven for that. But I will tell you, anything else you have done in this world, God will forgive you. Y'all believe that? If there's anything I said today you do not agree with, please get with me before I walk out of here. And don't post anything on social media like this brother right here. Then y'all go to them and say, we don't need him back anymore. But at the end of the day, I know I have a greater condemnation if anybody will stand and preach the word of God. Because if we're going to preach about it, you also got to live by it. Is that correct? As we sing the song of invitation, you can do it at this time.
Charmed by the world's delight,
for things that are higher,
things that are nobler,
things that are my sight, and I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Oh, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee, and I am resolved to go to the Saviorly, feed my sin and strife. And he is the true one, he is the just one, he has the words of life. And I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Oh, Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee. And I am resolved to follow the Savior, faithful and true each day. And heed what he saith, do what he willeth, he is the living way. And I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Oh, Jesus, the greatest, highest, I will come to thee. And I am resolved to enter the kingdom, leaving the path of sin. And friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. And I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Oh, Jesus, the greatest, highest, I will come to thee. Thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord. Lord, just thank you, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord.
Brian was back there doing like this, wanting to know which mic I wanted pushed up. But Carolyn Davis, Aaron's wife, has come forward just asking for our prayers on behalf of her family. Her dad, Junus Woods, who's been having health issues. Both their dads have been having health issues for a while now. But she said, correct me if I get this wrong, but that he's in the hospital for 3 weeks and he hasn't walked in a month. His heart is the issue, right? She says a lot of things, but that's one of them. But she's just really scared about where his health is going and what the prospects are. And so we're going to go to God in prayer on her behalf. Father, we humble ourselves. We bow before you, thanking you for the many blessings that you shower on us, not the least of which is the ability to come to you with our concerns, with our cares, with our fears, to join our hearts and minds together in petition to you. Father, we want to pray on behalf of Carolyn and her entire family and her dad, Junus, that this time of fear, this time of concern, this time of worry, that you would calm her heart, that she would know that you see her and you hear her pain, feel her pain, hear her concerns, you see her fears. Let her know that you know what's going on, and that even when we can't see what you have planned, the good in what you have planned, that you are behind what is going on, that you do know what is going on, and that you are still in control. Father, our faith wavers sometimes when we are dealing with pain, when we are seeing loved ones who are in pain, when we are seeing fearful things happening in the world. Father, forgive us for our faith faltering. Help us to trust you. Help us to remember who you are and that you made this world and everything that goes on here has a purpose and is part of your plan to draw your people to you. Father, help us in our unbelief. Help us in our struggles. Help us to have peace in knowing that you are in control. And help us, Father, as Carolyn's family here in Frisco, to rally around her with love, with our concerns and our help and our hope, to let her know that she is loved. Let her know that she is in our prayers. Let her know that all things will come out for the good because you are behind what happens in this world. Help us to trust you. Help us to love her. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.
As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, please turn to 160. We appreciate that message, Brother Reggie. Always very encouraging ever since I've known you. Appreciate that. 160, glory to his name. Down at the cross where my Savior died, and down where for cleansing from sin I cried, and there to my heart was the blood applied. I'm singing glory to his name. Keep singing glory to his name. Precious name, I'm singing glory to his name. Well, there to my heart, oh, was the blood applied. Keep singing glory to his name. And oh, the precious fountain that saved from sin. And I am so glad I have entered in. And there Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Keep singing glory to his name. Keep singing glory to his name. Precious name. Keep singing glory to his name. Precious name. And there to my heart, oh, was the blood applied. Keep it singing glory to his name. Before
we enter into the Lord's Supper, I'd like to focus our thoughts on a few things from Scripture. It is a Scripture that quickens our mind and our intellect. And as Brother Reggie said in class today, it also it impacts our emotions. And I want us to consider a few verses. One in Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 14. Paul writes of Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creatures. For by him were all things created in heaven and in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or powers or principalities, all things were created by him and for him, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body. He has the preeminence. Now I want us to consider what Isaiah wrote 750 years before Jesus came to this earth, and we know it happened because we read it in the Gospels. This is what the Creator of all things endured. Isaiah 53, verse 1, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, and a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." As we prepare to take of this Lord's Supper, let's stay our minds on the fact that Jesus died for our sins. This is not something we just do. This is something we need to give our full focus, our intellect, and our emotions. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we come before you with humble and thankful hearts. Father, we are amazed when we consider Jesus, who through him all things were created. Everything that exists was created by him and for him. And he was willing to come to this earth and to take on the form of a man. And when he found himself in the form of a man, he wasn't a rich man. He wasn't a physically beautiful man. He wasn't some man that has privilege, but he was a humble servant. And he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And the death of the cross he had to endure because we sinned. And we pray, Father, as we partake of this bread, that we reflect upon that, that we partake of this bread in a manner that's pleasing unto you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pray together. Our God and our Father, as we continue with this supper and we prepare to partake of the fruit of the vine, which to us represents the blood of Christ, may our hearts and our minds reflect upon the scenes of Gethsemane, where Jesus in agony knelt in prayer, asking for the cup to pass from him, but saying, "Nevertheless, thy will be done." And his agony and distress was so great that it brought forth drops of blood like sweat. May we reflect upon the scourging, Father, where he was beaten so severely that the prophet Isaiah said that his visage was marred beyond recognition. May we reflect upon the crown of thorns that was placed upon his head, the mocking, the spitting, the plucking out of his beard, and then lifted up on the cross with his hands and feet pierced in the blood that came from him and the sword, the spear that went through his side that brought forth the blood of the new covenant. As we partake of this, may we remember that this blood was shed because of our sins. And may we partake of this, Father, with the right with the right thoughts and the right attitude. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. That concludes the Lord's Supper. At this time, we will pray and pass the offering as is commanded on the first day of the week in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is not a solicitation for our visitors, but an opportunity for our members to support and to give back as commanded. Let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we come before you with humble and thankful hearts. We are mindful, Father, of all and thankful of all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. But we're also mindful, Father, that you have blessed us richly. As Brother Reggie said and referenced Psalm 40, that we can't really count all the blessings that you've blessed us with. Every good and perfect gift that we have in our life, Father, comes from you. We're thankful, Father, that we live in a free country. We're able to worship you without the fear of any man. Thankful, Father, that we have opportunities to work, provide for our families. Father, we realize this is from you, and we're thankful for it. And we pray, Father, now as we prepare to give back what you've blessed us with, may we do so with a cheerful heart. We pray, Father, that the money will be used to support the operations of this congregation and the mission work that it oversees, and also to help those that are in need. May we give, Father, with a cheerful heart. We pray that it's pleasing and acceptable in your sight. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Before we have the announcements and get out of here, I want to let Sister Carolyn know we all love you. I know the church is always going to be praying the elders and all the members here, and especially me, we're praying for as well during this time. Let's sing one verse of Just a Little Talk with Jesus. It used to be 666 in the second selections, but somebody voted out of the book, so we're going to sing it anyway. 600, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in, and in a little life from heaven filled my soul. It bathed my heart in love and wrote my name above. And just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. And now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our, and he will hear our faintest cry and answer by and by. Now when you feel it, a prayerful yearning, as your heart unto heaven is turning, you will find it. Talk with Jesus makes it right. Right, somebody said, all right, it's all right. It's all right, it's all right, it's all right. It's all right, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Somebody, all right. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right. And just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. And now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about us. And he will hear our faintest cry, and he will answer. And now when you feel a little prayerful yearning, as your heart unto heaven is turning, you will find a little talk with Jesus makes it around.
Didn't get this on the clipboard, but especially since they are here with us this morning, I wanted to make sure that we let everybody know that Faith Balzen and her boyfriend Chris are going to get married. They are engaged. Y'all don't have a date yet set yet. I didn't think so. I didn't think they did, but congratulate them. They are going to tie the knot. So that's a good thing. We're looking forward to that.
Good afternoon. It's wonderful to look out and see so many of you here, our members as well as our guests. If you are visiting with us, we want to thank you for being here. We would also ask that once we have the closing prayer, you stick around for a few minutes. Let us get to know you a little bit more and hope to invite you and have you back as we continue to worship here. We also want to express our gratitude to Brother Reggie for being here this morning and delivering the message. We want to thank him for his preparation and preaching what was on his heart this morning. It was a wonderful message. We want to continue to remember Sister Sharon Cook, the mother of Morgan Beatty, who's recently been diagnosed with breast cancer. We want to continue to pray for her, Morgan, as well as the family, and then the doctors that are going to be working with them. We want to pray for the situation as a whole and that God will bring glory and work in that situation. We also want to remember Megan as she is continuing to heal from knee surgery, as well as Essie Moore. We want to continue to remember her in our prayers as well this morning. And then coming up soon, especially for those that are FISD teachers, we have the school year returning starting next Wednesday, and in service and all that fun stuff starting tomorrow. So we want to remember the students that are going back as well as the teachers. It's a wonderful work we get to do working with students. It's a wonderful opportunity to be able to have a positive influence and Christ-like influence that a lot of these students may not have in their life, and it's beautiful when you get to really think about the power that you get to have and the influence. You're either influencing them positively or you're influencing them negatively. And so just prayers for the teachers as we get back into work, and pray that we're able to serve them and have that positive influence for them. The prayer meeting today will be at 3 on Zoom, so we will have that today. And then lastly, our online giving is available for those that would like to give online through our website. With that, I think there's no more announcements. We'll go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day that you've given us, God. We thank you for the church here at Frisco. We thank you for the ability to come and worship you. God, we thank you for the elders here who are leading us. We pray for them. We pray for their families as they continue to lead us, God. We want to pray for those that we have mentioned, God, those that are healing, those that are hurting, those that are going through difficult times in life. God, we want you to just be with them, put your healing hand on them, comfort them, be with them, God. God, we also pray that as we go forth into our lives, into this week of work, we pray that we're able to be a positive, Christ-like influence for you and continue to grow the kingdom of God. We thank you so much for all those that are here, God, and all those that we are able to have that influence over. Be with us, guide us, and in your name we pray. Amen.